This is a war, and this is your fate. We are the face of your new police state. We are the law, and we've got the guns. Statutory power, mandatory minimums. We are the SWAT. We're here for your pot and all the cash that you've got. We are adrenaline junkies taking orders from the czar. It's a no-knock raid.
We have survived by hiding from them, by running from them. But they are the gatekeepers. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
Are traditional values under assault where you live? Do you think your only choice is the nanny or police state? Well, what are you going to do about it? Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Charles Carroll Society, where we are a constructive voice of traditionalists seeking to lead a more self-sufficient life in preparation for an increasingly uncertain future. I am your host, Alex Barron, the self-appointed bard of the American Readout. Welcome to the Charles Carroll Society podcast. We have a great show for you today, so let's get right to it. Initially, I thought this show would be a little light because obviously all the moving we're doing. If you hear kind of an echo, well, the house is pretty empty, so I apologize for that. But then I started looking through the snippets and news things and realized this is a whole full show. I'm up early. Before we go to Mass, the family still sleeps, so it's a good time to do the podcast. I'm probably going to have to change, actually, no, most certainly going to have to change the date, that the day that we release it. We normally release the podcast on Wednesday, but that's going to probably have to change because I'll be flying on Wednesday, so that's probably not going to work. We'll roll with the punches and see what it is. I'm still trying to committed to trying to get this out weekly. I've been sharing with you our ups and downs with the move, and we're going to go over that. I want to also talk about the three men who are charged with being preppers and a little bit about a warning about that for you guys. I do want to do a big segment on the move and some things we found out and share some things for people who are out there. Remember, part of our journey and moving from a suburbanite family into a more homesteading family in the American Readout is to share with people there and leave, I call it, you know, breadcrumbs along the path or leave, steps in the snow. So let's get right to the news. International Republicans and Obama continue to sell us out to the Asian companies with the TPP. They keep releasing a little bit about that. We know that the Republicans signed off on that. They're assuming that you will have forgotten what they've done. By the time it's, we need to go vote again, I'm encouraging you not to forget that they betrayed all of the American workers there. We know that Obama put the legalization of massive amount of new immigrants. Again, we're not opposed to immigration if it's done in a measured way, in a legal way. But what the system is doing right now is flooding the country. No one is assimilating, and they're trying to change our American culture. They're putting down literally colonies, government-sponsored colonies of very foreign cultures right in the middle of red states, with the assumption that the red states are not going to continue to produce kids, and these people will, and eventually even those red states will become blue so that they can take over the Senate. That's their purpose. These colonies are to become blue. They're completely dependent upon the government. They know who released them. They know who brought them over here was a Democratic Party. They are hoping to keep those people voting Democratic Party. They're dropping them all through the red state district so that they can take over the Senate, because the red states don't have the population for the House, but and the senators are two per state. So that's what that's happening. Obama and Democrats are militarily selling us out to the Iranians. You know, who cares? Like, as in, not really who cares, but what's new? That's a better way of saying what's new. These guys are selling us out everywhere they can go. I'm not really into fighting another war in the Middle East, but to say the Iranians are our friends and this is the best deal we can get is ridiculous. If Israel wants to fight a war against Iran, here are some weapons. Good luck. But there's a lot of Iranian-made explosives that was released in Afghanistan. There were a lot of Iranian explosives released in Afghanistan. There's a lot of explosives still going on there. So For me, I'm not really trying to be friendly with these guys. He's selling us out. So does it kind of matter, I guess? I mean, this is just what's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. I believe that America can cease to trade with whoever it wants to trade. If we don't like your country, we don't have to. There's nothing in our Constitution that says we are forced to trade with every single nation. If we don't want to buy their oil, or if we want to put sanctions on them, put sanctions on them. Prevent our technology from going over there. Prevent people who want to trade with us. You can't trade with the people we don't like. I mean, go ahead and do that. But, he's selling us out. This is what they know. And guess what? It doesn't matter what he does. Because, I try to say this, and I will say this during the speaking engagement we have coming up here with the Liberty Caucus. People don't understand the right sight picture. People don't understand the situation they are in. People who want to work hard and be left alone to survive on their own merits. People who believe in traditional family values, traditional Western values, traditional, just Western value, not even Christian, are a minority in this country. And if a person will give, and remember, we like to make fun of Obama phones, but remember, it was, Mississippi or Louisiana, who just killed that Tea Party guy or really start running hard against that Tea Party guy down in the South. And then when you look at it, the whole state is built upon state-level welfare. Basically, the Republicans basically said, keep pushing in welfare, keep pushing in federal projects. We talk about the Obama phone. The Obama phone is a tiny percentage. What about people getting federal projects? What about states that, they only submit 80 cents on a dollar and get $1.30-$1.40 back in federal tax dollars because their senators are so powerful? That's a form of welfare too. What about all the businesses who are on that dole? Buying ships, whatever. There's a lot of people on this welfare, and that's before you get to the point of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, Section 8, the other thing. Yeah, Social Security we paid into, but we all know that Social Security is broke. So the only reason that we can pull money out is because the young people are working. Well, eventually young people are going to figure that out, and you're going to have what I call the Soylent Green freaking economic revolution. And all these things are going on. So many people are dependent upon the system. So many people are dependent upon the issue. So many people are dependent upon the government that if he does something overseas, nobody cares as long as their money keeps coming. There are very, 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 very few people who are going to vote against their pocketbook. And the people who are authoritarian are planning on that. Hey, we need to check all your email. I don't care as long as you give me free internet. I mean, it's just like that. So he's betraying us economically. Not he. I don't like even saying that it's him, that President Barack Hussein Obama is the problem, because it's not. It's the people who support him. And you guys, I've been saying that for 50 years, and you're about to see it now. Because the next person that comes on will be controlled by the same group of people, and they'll continue to betray us. Watch the Republicans. I told you the Republicans are not the answer. You look at them in the Senate. They won't even take a vote to fund Planned Parenthood, to defund it. They won't do what they have to do. They won't attach it to a must-pass bill. The left, the people who support President Obama, they'll lose 10 elections in a row to push one bill, Obamacare, because they know it gets them into everything. We won't even take, the leaders in the Republican Party won't even take any kind of risky votes. So it'll just keep happening. And then people don't really care as long as they keep getting theirs. And I guess it keeps happening. The IRS, I like this. The IRS was using Instant Messenger to avoid the discovery. They asked if their Instant Messenger records were being kept. You can make Instant Messenger keep records. At my own company, my big company I work for, they use Instant Messenger, but it keeps the records of everything you type. One easy way to do that is because every time you type out Instant Messenger, it emails you a copy of your thing. I didn't want it to email me a copy of whatever I just typed out. And then they record your email. So they can do that. But in IRS, they didn't set it to retain. So then all the IRS people use Instant Messenger. My only point of that is the government is using different communication patterns to avoid people reporting to the people what's going on. Are you doing the same thing? Yes, you can get silent circle and start using text messages more than you use email because they go away. You can use Red Phone. You can use a free silent circle version. You can use these things. You can and you should. The IRS is listening to this podcast and going, hey man, we should really tighten up our communications, and we are not good. there's some military guys who comes to find out there's some military men who fought off those Muslim terrorists who attacked that Marine station. These guys were denied the ability to protect themselves officially and not have any kind of rifles or pistols or anything to defend themselves. People thought that was neat, and so they may have just gone for the shooting range. They may have come back from the shooting range. Maybe they threw it in their desk and forgot about it. But the guy had his own personal weapon in his house, you know, in his desk drawer. A lot of people in normal states, you know, they go to the shooting range. They might leave their pistol in their desk drawer because they can go to the shooting range with their buddy. I mean, it's not a big thing. I mean, a gun is a legal thing. It just sits in the drawer. It doesn't jump up with legs and start shooting people. So, you know, our company says you may not have any kind of firearms on the property. Well, if you're going to the shooting range, you can't go all the way back home. So maybe there's more than one pickup truck parked in that thing that has a rifle stuck behind the back seat. So this guy's had their own pistol. They shot back against these Muslim terrorists, homegrown Muslim terrorists who attacked this Marine station, and the government was going to try them. They decided to do the political thing and not try them and just end their careers quietly. So that's what they're going to do. So they're going to end their careers quietly. Everybody goes, woohoo, it's a big thing. It's not a big thing. Let's see here. I thought this was very impressive. Staying on the track of communication, the FBI is once again complaining about your use of encryption. The FBI has just testified in a place called the Senate Judiciary Committee entitled Going Dark, Encryption Technology and Balance Between Public Safety and Privacy. The FBI said to Congress that they need to pass new laws so that it will force technology people like myself, like people who are listening to this, like other code monkeys out there who are actually developing their own encryption, that you cannot develop technology where you don't have the keys. Now, remember, they always talk about iPhone and their encryption, and people may take pictures they can't get to. That's one thing, but that's not in encryption. What encryption is silent circle, silent phone. These guys are developing technology where they can't crack it open. They're like, hey, that's not it. We don't want to have access to your encrypted data. The FBI is going in front of Congress saying we have to pass a law that they cannot be creative. They cannot create. That's how powerful the Patriot Darknet, the American Readout Darknet that we have been going over for years is, that the FBI is in front of Congress complaining about what we have been advising and suggesting for a long time. Every blog has to use HTTPS. It should. Survivalblog.com and Radio Free Readout need to get on HTTPS and force all connections over HTTPS because that is something that will help people a lot. Everyone should, you know, there's a free version of the Silent Circle. I actually have to load that up because I haven't used it. I personally like to use Silent Circle because, as you saw in the last patch, the last evilness that came out, they were very quick to patch their stuff and make sure it stays as secure as possible. Remember, none of this is perfect. They're complaining about stuff that's not perfect. All it is the equivalent of whispering over the internet. You have the right to whisper over the internet. But they don't think you do. They do not think you have the right to whisper over that internet. So, you know, I can only encourage you. You know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. A lot of guys, we can't figure out these phones and the PGP and stuff. Then just get Silent Circle. Just get Silent. If anybody has Silent Circle and wants to Silent Circle, text me. Let me know. I'll give you out my contact information. And be more than happy. I think, you know, that way what you're doing is saying, I can't figure this stuff out. It's kind of hard. I'm going to go with a company that's made it really, really easy. And that's what happened. So, you know, that's what we need to do. And they are so concerned. Their opinion is that every single communication that an American has electronically should be accessible by the government. Where is that in the Constitution? Remember, we're not trying to save or help pedophiles and such. Oh yeah, you are. Well, you know, a car helps a bank robber too, but that's not the purpose of the car, jerk. Okay, if someone suspects you of trading in underage pornography, they will just put a camera above your keyboard, watch you put in the password, and watch what you do on the keyboard. That's not even hard to do. But they would have to have a warrant, and they would have to have probable cause. You know, the words that are in the Constitution, they cannot just suck down everyone's computer and say, we want to track every single webcam. They do not have the right under a vision of Christianity. Christianity has many places where the assumption is that you would have privacy. I'll give you an example. How many priests bring their cell phones into the confessional? How many people bring their cell phones into the confessional? Each of those cell phones can be turned on remotely at all times. The obvious assumption, if you have something called reconciliation and you have the seal of the confessional, is that in that seal of the confessional, you and I can you can speak to your priest without anyone else hearing. The government's saying, we don't want that. If that cell phone is in that confessional, we want to have the ability to turn it on. My email is alex@alexanderbaron.com, alex@alexanderbaron.com. The blog is Charles Carroll Society. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Et respecto
Welcome back to the Charles Carroll Society. We saw a great news article here from the Catholic News Agency. Many people out here in the sound of my voice have been, and I have, and many people have, has said that homosexual, the fight for to redefine marriage to include homosexuality only was a little bit about allowing homosexuals to marry since they already had civil unions. People who wanted to enter into a contractual relationship were they could do it. Issue with homosexuality marriage was to redefine marriage, so to weaken marriage by redefining it. Hey, everybody gets an A. That weakens the definition of an A. Everyone gets a trophy. That weakens the definition of the trophy. And simultaneously waging war upon the pillars of society, specifically upon religion. Progressives have always hated the bastion, the readout, the castle that religion is. It's where we can get together. It's where we can communicate together. It's where we can work together. They've always hated that, and they want to wage war against it. Now that they've won the battle to put for the Supreme Court to say that homosexual marriage is in the Constitution, even though everyone knows that the Constitution is completely silent on marriage, and marriage for the longest time was a state's issue. The states decided what marriage is. They decided sometimes badly in the South, where they said, hey, if you're interracial, you don't count as a marriage, but the states decided it. So suddenly the federal government has assumed the power to decide what marriage is for the all 50 states. The Catholic News Agency is reporting that a guy named Tim Sweeney was just caught talking to local business leaders in San Francisco at a forum called Out and Equal Workplace Advocates. It was an executive forum held in San Francisco in late March of 2015. This just came to light. He says, Tim Sweeney is reported as saying, we are at a crossroads where choices are we make will mean we fight religious exemption for 2 or 3 years or have a protracted 20 or year struggle on our hands. He then goes on to explain how they're going to make war against religious liberty in this nation, how they want to remove religious exemptions to homosexual marriage in this nation, how they want to limit your exercise of religion. They will not be sad, as we said before homosexuality was legalized, as many people on this in the sound of my voice said before homosexuality was legalized. This is being used as a weapon against our Western civilization, Christian-based society. The reason we have to talk about homosexuality too much is because they are using it. We're not using it. It's not our thing. They're using it to wage war. So if your opponent is fighting you with a weapon, you might as well look at the weapon and realize what can it do, what can it not do, how effective it is. That's what we have to do. We don't like talking about the weapon. Guess what? This is the general tent. When you get over yourself, you can come back. Right now, we're trying to figure out how to win the war, and we're losing battle after battle, socially and politically. And if the weapon they're using is effective, then we need to study this weapon, period. Right now, this Tim Sweeney, he does grants. He works for these people who give $100,000 here, $200,000 here to fight for gay recognition of forcing people gay rights and gay marriage. And right now, he has decided that for the next 2 to 3 years, their focus will be limiting the exercise of religion as it relates to homosexuality in America. Just like what you said, just what we all said. Where's our hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to fight against this? Where's the plan to defend religious liberty nationwide? I don't know. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I guess when it's only one group of people on the battlefield, they win a lot. But all we need to do, the next election is the most important. If you want to fight for, just wait. You'll hear it on talk radio. The next election is the most important election that's ever been. You're like, really? You said that 100 times. Have a plan. Execute against the plan. Their plan is to start giving grants out and to start moving this. Our plan has to be wherever you are. If you're in the redoubt, you fight like tooth and nail, bloody claws to encourage and to push religious liberty, religious freedom. to the Alliance Defense, the people who are the lawyers need to tell us exactly what kind of templates we need to be passing to pass religious liberty, and we need to pass them in every single area we can. That's what we do. That's our plan. While the Republicans are going to say, give us money and give us votes, I'm saying you take your money and you spend your time and energy in your local community, at your local city boards, your local county, cities, and states, and you do everything you can to defend life and defend Western civilization and Christian values. You do that. I am not asking for the money to flow up here or to me. Go find the cause. Go fight the battle. The guys who just did this Planned Parenthood video are a great example of soft succession. You go out, you figure it out, and work with local people, your tribe, your folk, your people. Push hard. You are the militia. The general has failed. The national party, they have failed. But the militias, the political militias, right now we're in a political militia situation. That's why I want to see you guys at the Liberty Caucus. If you guys are going to go by the Liberty Caucus, remember the password is Hacienda del Norte. And only people who know that I'm building this would come from the blog, Hacienda del Norte. I know that you're from the blog, but come by. Look at the people who are here. Find the people. There's going to be several people from this podcast at the blog, so be out there. You know, this is what we're at. We're at the political militia stage. And because the political militia army has failed, but we can fight this. We can fight it. I'm not sure if we can win it. You know, it's a militia battle. Everybody's got their marching. The objective is to defend the Bill of Rights, to defend Western civilization, to defend Christianity. Not in that order. It's actually defend Christianity, defend Western civilization, and defend the Bill of Rights. That's our marching point. You go figure out how to do that the best way. They're going to come after you, just like this debate thing, oh, Trump this, who cares? Who cares? None of these people are going to fight the battles we need them to fight. Every one of them are traitors, are just weird people you put in an election because, you know, hey, I've been around politics for a long time. It's a corrupting influence, okay? I know that from a complete fact. I can tell you that from a complete fact. So maybe they're just guys who are just trying to go out and do their business. But you can be out there. Figure out some way. Join with some local thing. If you want to work with the Republican Party on a local level, that's your business. I don't care how you do it, but it's local, local, local. Direct action, direct action. Pass what you can. Defend what you can. You are the militia. You are the militia. I heard in the readout, the Idaho knuckled under to some crazy environmentalist wackos. These guys have been, Idaho had been starting these wolf hunts because these wolves are dangerous. They are, when we were hanging out there with the chickens, when I gave you guys some pictures from our time in the readout, there are wolves in those forests. And, you know, your six-year-old is running around trying to play on the playground, and there's wolves in that forest. So, you know, that's one of the things we do. We do very large lifestyle protection dogs to keep them out. We have guns at hand, and you know, what else can you do? But a wolf is really fast. I mean, these animals are really fast. And, you know, 5 and 6 year old kids, the reason you're moving to the readout so your kids can roam without somebody calling the child protection service saying, oh my goodness, kids are outside and there's not adult like right next to them 5 feet away. But it's something you worry about. And these jerks who reintroduce these wolves, you know, think that's just wonderful. Well, they have this guy who's who's trimming the herd back, which they need to. By the way, the wolves have also decimated the larger animals, like the elk. The elk herds have been decimated by the wolves, and the wolves are also eating up people's livelihood by destroying young cows. Who open range. So, but then Idaho had this hunt going on, but then they stopped it because these environmentalists jumped up and down and start crying. So, you know, that's what that is. You know, what can you say? You know, I just wish that. I also heard something else in the readout. There is a guy who got a letter from the VA who said he can't have guns anymore. And, you know, 10 or 20 preppers showed up at his house and some state representatives, which I think is great, wonderful. But that kind of completely missed a point. Like the VA says, we don't send people to people's houses to seize their guns. The only person who could seize the guns from his house would be the sheriff's department. So the real protest is at the sheriff's department to see if they've gotten any kind of direction to seize that man's guns. The federal government, as far as I know, does not have, you know, a completely federalized police force yet. in California, there's a special group of sheriff's department agents who seize guns from people. That's one of the reasons we're getting out of Dodge. Who knows what they're going to do? Oh, you take something to sleep? Well, that's a mental health issue. You can't have guns. Oh, your wife said this about you? Without, you know, trial or whatever, we're going to take your guns. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. You know, not a misdemeanor, battery, whatever. It's just like, oh, your wife says that you're dangerous. They're going to take your guns. Whatever it is, you know, so... let your kids have access to guns without having 15 trigger locks? Yes, we do. We teach our children gun safety and there are guns just stacked on the wall, displayed. And if they want to open and grab a gun, they could. We can't have that. So the point is, we got to get out of Dodge, right? But, the point with this guy is that the police in California, they have a special part of the sheriff's department who, goes around and steals, citizens' guns, who may have them. And they're a special 20-minute assault team. They're like a death squad. They just work really well together. They travel up and down the state, and they just go to people, everybody who has gats and flags. They just, and if they have any ability to seize their guns, they take them. I have covered it on the blog before. So in Idaho, you would expect it to be something similar. The federal government say, go seize those guns, but they don't send the FBI to go do that. They send the local sheriffs. Now, the question is, will the local sheriffs follow that? Will the Idaho State Police follow that? That's who I keep telling people. It's not going to be the federales. It's not going to be the blue shirt Department of Homeland Security. It won't be the North Koreans. It won't be the Chinese. It won't be the Russians who come for you. First of all, half of them can't find where you are at. It will be your local police. Those are the people who will come for you. The local police will get their message. They'll get their legal order, and they'll say that you're a terrible person, and you beat your wife, and you rape your children, and you're a domestic terrorist, and you're just terrible. Go take his guns. And they'll go, oh, what? There's a bad guy. We got to go get him. No one ever questions, well, where did this order come from? How do we know? And as in Wisconsin, as you saw, a judge will sign an order. Oh, my goodness. He's white and he has guns? Well, you know, Black Lives Matter, baby. Got to take care of that. We can't have white people having guns. He's white and he has a gun. Good Lord. What are we going to do then? Yep. No, can't have it. I think that's great that whoever showed up in front of their house, but really the main threat is that guy's probably being put in that database where he can't buy a gun legally anymore. And the only person who's probably going to be told to come get it is the sheriff. So what really needs to happen is there should be a law that says something to the effect that that there's many states, you know, let's go look at the states who've passed this, that the local police will not assist the federal government in taking anybody's guns unless they're convicted under state law or something. I don't know what the details are, but just because remember they tried to pass a law that says because you end up on the no-fly list, you can't have a gun. Well, no-fly list, you can't challenge it in court. No one knows why you were on the no-fly list. They just put you on there because they don't like you. And you're like, well, how do I get off? Well, you know, we'll come talk to us and we'll tell you. But there's nothing. There's no due course. You have no way to protect yourself. So it is very fair for Idaho, Wyoming, Montana to pass laws to say, hey, unless you're convicted of a crime, it is a misdemeanor for the police to assist the feds in taking anybody's guns. And the Idaho State Police, by the way, will fight you on that because they already did. They crushed a Republican guy who tried to do that. They went back to when he was 16 years old and he was charged with some kind of statutory rape or something. They did do that. A guy went there, and the Idaho State Police fought him and crushed this man's career and put it in front of the good Republican voters. And I said, oh, my goodness, this guy's a racist. He's a rapist. The guy's 54 years old now, has three kids and a wife. They went back to when he was 16 years old, and the charge had been expunged from his record. No one was supposed to know about it, but the police state does. And the police state wasn't happy with what he was doing. And that happened in the heart of the American Readout, which is Idaho. The Idaho State Police is a problem. Everyone who is inside of my voice can hear it. And in various ways, we've got to push back on this Idaho State Police. It seems like there's a people there, that's where they go, who are big federales. They're the same Idaho State Police are the people who pulled over that guy because his truck smelled like marijuana. He's suing the state because his driver's license from Washington and his truck was from Colorado or whatever. So he assumed that he had pot on him. The Idaho State Police, the ones that shot that dog. Idaho State Police is the one who went after this politician because he was trying to pass a law to make it a misdemeanor for them to cooperate with the feds in removing people's guns. So we have an issue with the Idaho State Police, and that issue needs to be squared away. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about the three men charged with preppers and also what's going on with our move. My name is Alex Barron. You can find me on Twitter at mralexbarron.com, mralexbarron.com. We appreciate all the shares, likes, tweets, posts, and all that jazz on the post. That's how I kind of know what's popular out there. And I'll see you on the other side on the break.
Questionable highway truth, but let me tell you, there are no roads with.
Well, I think the economy is still probably the primary concern. I do think that Jade Helm has kind of reached a point of hysteria in the alternative media. Mm-hmm. I think it's being overemphasized. The real risk still is an economic collapse. That's the real risk to the American people, and I think the most immediate risk. I'm also quite concerned about the Trans-Pacific Partnership because so much of it was kept secret from us, and who knows what additional deals might be in the background. There's a lot of cloakroom deals that go on with any of these international trade agreements, and it's difficult to know or difficult to anticipate what's going to come along with TPP. But I haven't completely given up hope on our political process. And we have a chance of possibly even electing a libertarian president. We can't just give up on the process. And if we disengage ourselves from the process, we're basically capitulating. Now, to get back to the political process, yes, I haven't given up on the political process, but it is very discouraging to see what's happened with our nation, with the absolute arrogance of our elected representatives who have absolutely forgotten who they represent and who they are ultimately answerable to, we the people. I guess they need to be reminded of that. And unfortunately, I don't think they'll be fully reminded of that unless or until a few of them become the recipients of tall trees and short ropes. Yes, I haven't given up on the political process, but it is very discouraging to see what's happened with our nation, with the absolute arrogance of our elected representatives who have absolutely forgotten who they represent and who they are ultimately answerable to, we the people. I guess they need to be reminded of that. And unfortunately, I don't think they'll be fully reminded of that unless or until a few of them become the recipients of tall trees and short ropes.
Into your black hole of truth, sucking spirituality, rationality, humanity.
Welcome back. I just wanted to spend a little time in this segment talking about the North Carolina or South Carolina guys who just got jammed for being preppers. I assume that you guys know what I'm talking about. They're three guys who are stockpiling a lot of weapons and guns and ammunition and preparing for martial law in the country. Now, I've known a lot of people, and I bet you the real thought is that they were just preppers and martial law was only one of the things that they were concerned about. But saying someone is, building their home and preparing for an earthquake doesn't have the same pop to the FBI. Remember, nowadays the FBI and federal agents often want to make their careers with their bust. So they're not satisfied with just busting you for preparing for an earthquake. They need to make it bigger and better and more. They want to put on their things that you had 42,264 rounds of ammunition, instead of saying he had a lot of ammunition. So their point is trying to make their political chops. However, the guys were arrested for plotting, resistance to martial law. So it makes them sound completely whacked out of their mind. And what they got them, though, for was taking grenades and trying to restore them to grenades. Now, when I saw that, of course, I said, well, why would anyone do something so illegal as create grenades? Now, first of all, they didn't get arrested for creating grenades. They got arrested for talking about creating grenades because you can make explosive stuff on your homestead and blow stuff up all the time. I mean, it's probably a lot of fun to blow up stumps and things like that. And I don't know, something that you drill in and put inside of a stump to explode is probably very similar to whoever, whatever you're doing. But they didn't, you know, you don't, just because you put gunpowder in a pipe and then put it under a stump and explode the stump, sounds like a lot of fun, although I would never do it, I guess, if it's illegal, of course. But perhaps that, you know, doing that you can do left and right, and who would know, except every now and then your neighbor hears this big explosion. It's what it is when you start talking about it. So it's OPSECT. But then another thing kind of came out to me. So about this thing, the people who got credit and political credit for taking down these three men who were stockpiling some weapons was the Air Marshal Service. Well, let me think here. The Air Marshal Service is not the guys walking around in your local neighborhood looking for guys who have taken old surplus grenades and trying to restore them. That's not the guy. First of all, why would you do an old surplus grenade? Why not just do a pipe bomb? I mean, that's free and it has less people looking at it. Go do some plumbing work in your house, keep the pipes, you know, stockpile them, put them under the stump, blow up the stump. Yay. I mean, that seems to work for me. Yes, there's easier ways to take a stump out, but there's not more fun ways to take a stump out. You can blow it up or the other stuff. I want to get that magic burning powder stuff that James Rawls are talking about, those little thermite grenades or whatever, and pour a bunch of thermite on a stump and then see if you can burn it all the way to China. This is, yes, there's simpler and safer ways to remove stumps, but not more fun. You know, so the next thing, air marshals, why are the air marshals? So what does that tell us? That tells us that these guys, these South Carolina preppers who are arrested for being quote unquote preppers, needed to make explosives in addition to all the weapons they had, which is ridiculous. And they involved in some way airports or flying. So I wanted to take that time to remind our listening audience about OPSEC and about the Bard's 10 rules of OPSEC, which I got from a really bad rap guy. One of the things that you can always tell when you're being set up by the federales is when they encourage you to go across state lines. Hey, they encourage you to deal with bigger weapons than you need today or tomorrow. So let me first tell you a secret. If there is ever martial law, zombie apocalypse, or whatever you think is going to happen, if that happens, I can assure you there's going to be a lot of fully automatic M4s around, a lot of rifles around, a lot of ammunition around. Well, actually, probably not a lot of ammunition, but a lot of rifles around, and probably a fair amount of grenades. Grenades are an absolute defensive weapon. Grenades are great for killing a lot of people in a small area. They're not really great for knocking out people, you know, who are woodland, who are snipe at you 300 yards away, which is where you should be working. They are great for knocking out trenches. I think they were designed for trench warfare. You have a trench here, you have a trench there. You can't get those guys because you keep sniping at them. They keep ducking their heads. You toss a grenade into their trench. Boom, you run over and you kill everybody who's left. Well, I don't think we're going to be doing that heavily. And if that starts, I think there will be enough grenades accessible. You don't need to build them right now. But you can always tell when you're being set up or the people that you're operating with are a problem because they encourage you to do things that you would not normally do. You've got a bunch of guns, you're practicing, you're horseback riding, you're doing your med. The reason this story kind of bothered me is because this is now three other patriots who have been taken off the map. This is what they're doing. They said that they were going to recreate the FBI's domestic terrorists, looking at domestic terrorists who are not Islamic connected. They said that they were going to recreate that, and they have. And they want to take apart the patriot community piece by piece. Everyone who showed up at Bunker Hill, they'll be chasing them down individually. I've said that years ago. And when they chase them down individually, they're not going to say we're chasing down all the patriots that showed up at Bunker Hill. They're going to take them down for whatever reasons they can. So please share this podcast. I'm putting myself out there to explain the facts. Let people hear it. When you can tell, here's a couple things that you can tell. One, anytime anyone asks you to go across state lines to do something that you can do within the state. Two, Any use, any working with silencers. 3, any working with sawed-off shotguns. 4, any working with explosives that are not normal. 5, anything to do with missiles. Why these 5 things? Because these 5 things are multiples on how much time you stayed in prison. You do this crime, you get this much time. You do this crime with a sawed-off shotgun, you get that much crime, multiple this. Go across state lines. Normally, going across state lines is required. Why? Because if you stay within your state, then it's a state's issue. It's hard for the feds to get jurisdiction. But as soon as you cross state lines, aha, it's automatically their jurisdiction. So your local sheriff guys be like, well, why didn't you bring this investigation to me? It happened in my county. It happened in my state. They don't want to have that conversation. They usually can bully the local sheriff or the local police department into allowing them to take over the case anyway, but they don't want to even have it. So what they'll say is, hey, why don't we pick up the pin to the grenade in Washington, and we'll pick up the similar grenade in Idaho. You cross state lines, automatically a federal issue. Anything to do with silencers, because silencers are yet again a multiple. You did a crime with this, you get this many. You did a crime with a silencer, you get that many. Explosives and missiles, the reason that's always included is because those are automatic minimums. Automatic minimums. The government, the judge doesn't even have an option. There have been laws because we're good Republican. Yeah, we got to fight against crime. So we've now passed laws that says that if you're involved in any way with this explosive, it's a minimum 10 years and we get to take your freaking house and put your family on the street. Period. Automatic. Judge can't even withdraw it. This is what having voting for people who are tough on crime, this is what it gets you. We got to vote for people who are tough on crime. Tough on crime. Until they start making what you're doing criminal. What? That's not right. We want this for them people, the bad people. Well, now we vote. And now you're the bad people. Anytime you see anyone hit these areas, sawed-off shotgun. Hey, can you make this sawed-off shotgun? Mm-hmm. Here's a hacksaw. And you need something to hold the blade, the barrel open so you don't trim it. And an instruction manual, and my recommendation is you don't hack that off until the zombies start walking around. Well, can you do it for me? Nope. Go look on the internet. Here's I'm not even going to give you the hacksaw. Go to Home Depot and get a hacksaw. Hey, man, we need to make a silencer. Well, I don't need to make a silencer since you can make one out of almost many things. And heck, I can legally buy one. Why do I need a sawed-off shotgun when I can legally buy a pistol that fires shotgun rounds? You can buy rifles now that are short carbines that fire shotgun shells. Why do I need a sawed-off shotgun?
Well, it's cool, man. I got to have it. It's good.
You could tell. Right then and there, you need to implement your counterintelligence plan. You have been penetrated. There's an idiot in your group, and you need to figure out and deal with this. Because you can do the guy who's doing a whole bunch of work is going to have a 308 bolt action. 308 bolt action hunting rifle, and he can do way more work than anyone can do with a couple of grenades. He's going to have one of those old $97 Russians, whatever, and he's going to put in work. But people are here arguing about what tactical vest they are, and they're not outside doing their PT, the stuff that's hard. They're not moving their families all over God's creation. We're not doing whatever that's we need to do. They're not preparing themselves. They want to play with grenades. You know you're getting set up. And then you'll be another patriot removed from the board. Because the real issue is, obviously, the guys are not that big of a worry. They're going to charge one guy with 10 years. And remember, I mean, you charge a guy with 10 years, he's going to do 2, and then he's going to get out, you know, he's going to get that to 5, and that's going to be halved with good behavior, unless he's, you know, got involved with something that has an absolute minimum. Missiles have an absolute minimum. Grenades may have an absolute minimum. Yeah. OPSEC. I have the post. Take a look at it. Please read it. 10 rules of OPSEC. Don't cross state lines. Don't get involved with sawed-off shotguns. Don't get involved with snipers. Don't get involved with grenades. Don't get involved with missiles. Everything that you need, you are a Christian man. Prepare the best you can. Buy what you can legally. Practice with the heck out of it. Get your physical strength up. And guess what? Continue to move forward on that. And then trust the Lord a little bit that the more complex things that you need, they will be provided. And I truly believe every time I've been around, there's never been a lack of weapons when things start happening. Never. Not very often. Ammunition's a different thing, you know. You never can have too much ammunition because that seems to run out a bit. But the actual physical metal, that seems to be around because there's going to be people who are around who will not be needing their whatever they've been wearing anymore. So trust. Keep yourselves on the playing board. Don't fall for people who are instigators. And I believe, in my opinion, the police and surveillance state are often instigators. They encourage patriots and people and just druggy little marijuana guys. They encourage them to do things that they would normally not do. I've seen it happen all the time. They get them involved with stuff that they just wouldn't do by themselves. Tough on crime. Well, it's a close line between people being tough on crime and sometimes they're creating crime that would not have created without the government's involvement. And now that's being used against patriots all over America. I'm your host. We're gonna have one more a segment where we're gonna catch you up on our move and leave and hopefully give you guys some ideas on some things to avoid and some things to do. I'm your host, Alex Barron. My email is alex@alexanderbarron.com. Please put CCS in the subject. I just found one guy in spam filter. I'm sorry about that. I don't know how it ended in spam filter, but that's what I do is every now and then I search through my spam filter for the CCS word. If I see it, I pull it out and grab it. So thank you very much, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
In front of the increasing confusion brought by the reforms, Archbishop Lefebvre, after repeated but ultimately unfruitful negotiations with Rome, decided in 1988 to consecrate 4 new bishops to continue ordaining priests and give confirmation in the traditional rite. He held that Rome had agreed to the consecrations in principle, but were stalling over the details. In response, the Pope issued an official document excommunicating the archbishop along with these 4 new bishops. This greatly saddened the archbishop, but he firmly believed that he could not, in good conscience, have acted otherwise, and was bound, for the love of the Church, to provide for the preservation of the Society of St. Pius X and its worldwide apostolate. Archbishop Lefebvre died 3 years later, on March 25th, 1991. The Society of St. Pius X continued its apostolate according to the constitutions approved by the Church. In 1994, Bishop Bernard Fallet was elected Superior General, a position which he still holds today. Notably, in the Jubilee year 2000, he led his priests, religious, and seminarians on a pilgrimage to Rome as a way of thereby expressing love and respect for the Holy Father. Pope Benedict XVI later stated in a 2007 document entitled Summorum Pontificum that the Latin Mass had never been abrogated, and in 2009 lifted the excommunications issued against the 4 Society of St. Pius X bishops. Today, the Society of St. Pius X numbers around 600 priests and close to 500,000 faithful spread throughout the world, and successfully continues its apostolic work. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to the Charles Carroll Society. So, as you've hopefully been following on the blog, we are making our great escape. Several other subscribers are, so keep those guys in your prayers too. We use a basic OPSEC. I think I know one of their real names, but I don't even know their names. That way, when I get strapped to the chair and the hoses come out, that's why we have, you know, we don't have code words, but we have ways to know. People can walk up to me and say, hey, I know you from the podcast. How's the Hacienda del Norte going? I know who they are. Sure, there may be some guys out there, but you're just trying to feed out the most people, and I don't need to know who they are. We can hang out and talk, and if we get another, if you guys email me and tell me that there's enough guys, we can go hang out someplace and go have a drink and sit down and yak to each other. But other guys are out there moving around, getting stuff done. Remember my new thing, I've said it several times, is be in 30 minutes of your parish. be in 30 minutes driving distance of your parish. And if you're Catholic, I strongly recommend that you can drive to Post Falls in some way, because come to find out, the town is being taken over by Catholics. I mean, the one guy told me, yeah, this is a Catholic town. I'm like, really? I mean, just because this is the great enclaves of Catholicism that I can find, and there are probably others, but the big ones are like Ave Maria, Florida, Novus Ordo Conservative, St. Mary's, Kansas, which I guess is even larger than Post Falls, Idaho. I mean, it's incredible. So I'd love to visit that. Maybe we'll do a summer trip one day when we'll visit all three and go through their colleges and such not. So that'd be fun. Do like, you know, stop off on several trips and do that. That would be a lot of fun. But anyway, the move is going what it is. Like I said, we broke our move up. We're trying to save some money. And I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, but we're trying to save some money. We hired a shipper to ship the stuff, but we hired professional packers to pack the fragile stuff. We packed the normal boxes ourselves, and we hired day laborers to help us get most of the stuff, the rest of the stuff in the truck. And now I got to figure out how to do the same thing on the reverse. I need to find packers up there to unpack stuff to get it in the house, because I mean we have some larger furniture. And my wife is definitely not in a situation where we're going to be moving furniture. There's guys in the parish that do this, but I don't really want to be beholden to anyone when I move in. I just want to be able to hire someone and kind of boss them around and be like, no, move the picture over here 5 feet. You know, I don't want to owe anyone. And so I'd rather just hire someone who I can just give them to do exactly what I did, not feel bad about, you know, and I don't want to owe anyone. That's what it is. So there's a lot of stress, mostly my wife, to tell you honest truth. The children get a little sad. We had a really emotional time. We have my youngest daughter's godmother is here, and she went to visit her, and she just couldn't stop crying. And but it's funny, my youngest daughter was crying to leave when we left Idaho. She was crying to. We stayed with a parish family up there, as I've said. And she was crying when she left there, and she's just having a little rough time. And I think, and she's six, so this is kind of a thing. This is going to be kind of a core memory for her. So we're trying to do what we can to help her out. And she seems to be strong, and it's kind of driving the kids together, because, you know, we've allowed their friends to come over and help us move so they can spend some time with them, the ones that are better. I thought that would be a good thing. We can talk about it. My boy seems to be okay, you know, but he's a boy, so he kind of internalizes a lot. We had his friend over for the last couple of days helping us, you know, pack and move and hang out and play. And his friend said, hey, I want to go because you have nothing in your house now, so it's not fun. And I'm like, well, that's true. It's really this house is really starting to feel like our former home. My wife and I were sitting there staring at each other over a bunch of fights and anger and cry and tears. And we said, yeah, this is really not. Doesn't feel like our home anymore. And she's like, no, it's kind of funny. It's a combination of, you know, of physical structure and your stuff and your people, you know, your family kind of make the home. I didn't know that. I just didn't pay attention to that recipe previously. And, yeah, but my wife is, she's not really good. She's not good at making friends. She's not good at doing this. But, you know, at the one time I was okay with sending my daughter up there and putting her in the school and letting her board. But my wife is the one who's like, I want to be closer to the kids because she's kind of young. And, you know, it's just going to be struggle. Now, real struggle is going to come when the snow comes. You know, we wanted to move down south a bit in the Clearwater Valley, which has very moderate climate. But then, you know, we're choosing to move closer to where the schools are. I've come to realize that the core of people who are still having kids or have kids is schools. Put getting them out of government schools, homeschooling the children, or putting them for us, homeschooling doesn't work for us for various reasons. We tried it. We like homeschooling. I support homeschooling. I want to homeschool, and I volunteer at the homeschooling co-op. I mean, I really am supportive of homeschooling. And by the way, just to let people know, the only time that I've seen any education where the performance gap between blacks and whites disappears is blacks who are homeschooled and white are homeschooled. They're like a half a percentage or something apart. It basically becomes statistical noise. Almost all the children who participate in homeschooling, when some of them are forced to do standardized testing in some states, if you homeschool, you do it. A homeschooling defense league showed that the blacks and white students and Asian students and Hispanic students, the performance gap disappears. So, which, by the way, is obvious, 100% obvious. It suggests that throwing more money at the school is not the answer. It's fixing the home. Remember, we don't have a problem going into Detroit, going into Baltimore, going into LA and helping these people. But they don't want our help. They want our money. And we're saying it's like a kid who's addicted to drugs. Just give, honey, giving him more money is not going to help. He's got to change. And that means he's going to have to bottom out normally if he even has a chance to change. Because when we're there's two different approaches. One is a traditional values, self-sufficiency, self-reliance. That doesn't, when we say that, doesn't mean that we don't have a safety net. Doesn't mean that we don't help our neighbors. I mean, every single person who has moved to the American Readout this summer has told me about how their neighbors are so much, are so helpful, and me included. We Christians, we want to help because that's kind of like part of our, that's just who we are. Good Christians want to help you. But what we do is we don't rely upon that help. We don't depend upon that help. We don't demand that help. And the other people are big social net, authoritarian central powers, central groups having control over these resources. There's just two opposite ways. The truth is you can create a nation like the socialist Europeans, and you can create a nation like America used to be. They don't want to say that our way can work, but of course it can work. You could outlaw all abortions except for the life of the mother, period. And the nation would continue. The nation wouldn't stop. People wouldn't stop going to work. You might end up with a few more kids, but the world would not stop spinning. The sun would not go out. The stars would not disappear. So, you know, that's that. So heavy movement. We got all the stuff that we can packed up. I grossly underestimated the linear feet we need. Almost everything's in the house is done. I've got my one desk still here. My computer still here. I'm going to take that with us. I've got a pile. I got a Yakima rack. I'm trying to do a post on I got a Yakima rack and put it on top of my SUV, my minivan. I think it's kind of cute. All the guys who really use Yakima racks. That's the basket type thing. It's not the typical minivan bullet thing, but it's a basket. I like the basket more because you can pile higher junk on it. And all the guys who really use it look at me like, it doesn't go in your minivan. I'm like, oh, tough. The reason we do that is I think I shared it with you before is because my wife is have a real reason to be a bit more a lot more emotional than normal, and she's really going through some tough things. But I really encourage her. Well, I'll just tell you, my wife is pregnant, so we're doing all this move, and everybody's going, oh, well, that's okay. Yes. My wife is pregnant. I haven't shared that before, but she's pregnant, and my newest child will be born deep in the American Readout. We've done this. One of the reasons why we had to push hard was we were planning on moving 2 or 3 months ago. You know, the new house will be built. We'll be moving into the new house. It'd be all wonderful, right? Well, everything blew up on that plan. And so now everything starts shifting around. We had to get the kids in school. We got the nuns to be nice and accept our other kids. It's really wonderful. So all our kids are going to the correct schools now. They're going to the most traditional schools in America. We are literally moving out of California deep into the American Readout to put our kids into good schools. We are sacrificing to put our kids into good schools, and we hope the Lord blesses this sacrifice. We do. It's just like the ancient Israelites. We just hope that the Lord blesses this sacrifice. We hope that our children are around other traditional Christians. We hope to be able to stand with other patriots and other Christians, and even people who don't believe in God, who don't have a problem living in a society that does believe in God. Everyone who wants to stand shoulder to shoulder. So it's a big, huge sacrifice. But then this whole pregnancy thing, you know, that's not always planned out. And next thing you know. So anyway, you know, I begged my wife. I said, look, we've got to move sooner because every day it's harder for you to do anything. So anyway, on the Yakima rack, her deal was I'll drive. You know, first of all, I was like, hey, why don't you just fly up with one of the kids and I'll drive up. No, I don't really want you driving across the country with the kids by yourself. Oh, I can drive by myself. Yeah, because you'll just kill yourself. Thank you, honey. That's real nice. But no, exactly what she said, by the way. My wife is not exactly what you'd call real sensitive at all. But I feel better when I'm there so I can make sure everybody's doing okay and blah, blah. But the problem is you have, you know, an extra 15 pounds sitting in your bladder. Well, what we found is if we flip one of the minivan seats down and she can lay on her side, then the weight gets off her belly, off her bladder. And so we can go longer distances. So now if the back seat is flipped down, you lost all your storage behind the rear seat of the minivan. What do you do with your storage? Yakima rack. Throw the Yakima rack on top, pile that sucker up. And that worked. The last trip we did was wonderful. Everybody was there. Everybody's good. Because we have what, five, we have one, two, three, four seats, and we have one, two, three, four. Well, actually, we have four people. Well, we have a lay down seat. So people can kind of cycle in and out of that lay down seat. On the lay down thing. And it was great. The split row and the Toyota Sienna, I guess the Honda Odyssey has the same thing. And then now you can just go for a long, long distance. So it's really good. Probably not the safest, blah, 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 but we're making a choice. A few hours of sleep and keep going, and then we can get where we're going. So we hope to be on the road shortly here. We've got, you know, we're just trying to clean up the house, and we just signed the for the guy to rent the house the other day, so that's going to be on the MLS listing and some other places and advertised there well. We're just looking for, you know, we got to put new carpet in it because I haven't changed the carpet in 14 years. I really wasn't planning on doing that. I wanted to clean the carpet, but the guy says, yeah, 14 years of carpet and just a family living is not going to work. And so you're never going to clean this. It may look good for a minute, but it'll just look terrible after a minute. And I want to do some touch-up painting, but the problem with the paint came to be that, you know, I painted this, I have the color, but we painted it for so long ago that even if we paint it the same color, it's fade. So now we got to kind of figure out the new color to paint it. So we're going to get a guy to help us with the paint. So I've I'm leaving the appliances, which I guess is kind of common when you're renting. People often have the washer and dryer and refrigerator will be in the unit. So we cleaned out the washer. You know, I had to scrub out the washer because my wife has been putting the liquid detergent on top of the dryer because it's there, and it ended up rusting. There's the only water, the only liquid there is, you know, spilled Clorox, blow, whatever, and it became rust ring. So I sanded that down and then painted that, and then there's been a little bit of rust that popped up on the refrigerator. The refrigerator must be 14 years old. The washer dryer are only 6 years old, 6-7 years old. But because that liquid's there all the time in the water, it's a little bit rougher. But the refrigerator must be 14 years old. But it's only moved once, I think. So I had to scrub that down and then got some enamel paint and touch that up. So that looks pretty good. So I touch up the paint, new carpet, and then clean the house fully. There you go. We've gotten most of the trash taken out. We've got some, I mean, like, you know, when I say trash, I mean, like, you know, patio furniture that no longer works. I've got a metal bench that needs to go. You know, things like that, you know, things that are just not going to make it in the new place. The truck's gone anyway. So we got to do a little bit of that. I've got to square away my boss one more time. I've given him kind of like heads up that I'll be gone. I'm probably going to take a week of vacation either next week or the week after and just take vacation. And then we're up there with you guys. We're there, you know, we're doing a thing. Like I said, we're Catholic homesteaders. We're Catholic people. We're not just doing this. You know, I've kind of moved past the stage of being a prepper, and I want to be a homesteader with a gun. You know, I've moved the stage of saying that, you know, I'm moving up here full time just to prepare for something bad. Yes, something bad can happen, but I really want to put my kids in the right schools. I really want to be in a community of traditional patriotic people, and I really want to be able to play with the land. My youngest daughter really love taking to the land. I mean, we couldn't find her. She'd grab the dog, and she would just take off with when we were staying with the family up there from the parish. She literally was outside all the time, and she would just take off. Hey, get some eggs. So let's pick some flowers. Let's do this. And she just loved it. She takes to it. I mean, the kids, you know, there's a certain degree when they are able to move around and just get a little space. You don't need 800 acres. I mean, she never moved past pretty much 5 acres, but for a 6-year-old, 5 acres is good, a good chunk. It starts letting you roam. You know, you could see her growing up in this area and starting to walk with her, you know, little red, her red wagon going down there, walking from places. That's why you're moving here, so people can feel safe. And I'll tell you something else. When we end up in the American Redoubt, in the neighborhood we're going there, we have all kind of neighbors who have been helping us, all kind of people who said hello. And the other two guys who are moving up here now, they say the same thing. They report the exact same thing. When we're moving out of where we're at, we have not had a single neighbor even come over and say, hey, you're moving. Good luck. Or, hey, you're moving. You know, are you selling? Are you renting? Anything. That's the difference. And there's also a big difference between when your kids can play in a little backyard that's 20 by 20, 40 by 40, their minds, it's like a tree growing up in too small of a box, and it gets twisted because it can't expand. a lot of things come differently when suddenly they get to roam a little bit and they get to go, huh, the world is big. My yard is big. Things are possible. Hope you enjoyed the show. I don't know if we're going to be able to make the show next week because all my stuff will be packed up. Hope to see you guys at the Liberty Caucus, please. It's a lot of fun, please. If you're able to come out to the Liberty Caucus in Coeur d'Alene, please do. If anybody needs, I think I got rid of all the free passes to my my speech, but if anybody needs them, please contact me. I may be able to swing some more, and I look forward to seeing you guys out there. If you enjoy the show, please share this and like this podcast. Please rate the podcast on Stitcher. I still don't have any ratings over at Stitcher. Please rate it on iTunes. Subscribe to the blog. Share us among your family and friends. If you want Western civilization, if you want Christianity, and if you want liberty to survive, you are personally responsible with finding some way to demonstrate your non-compliance to this post-Christian system. Every week, try to perform some small action of protest, self-reliance, and non-compliance. Viva Crystal Ray. It's a no-knock raid. It's a no-knock raid.